For May the 12th, 2023, we talk about Star Wars Jedi Survivor, the Golden Idol Mysteries, the Spider of Lanka, GTFO, and much more. Welcome to Level 457. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I'm David Mysmith.
And I'm Ben Merkel.
And you are listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. Welcome back, one and all. Boy, things are getting kind of busy, but for me, not in a way that makes content.
Oh, no.
I mean, if it's not making content, does it really exist?
One would imagine. No, I just it's one of those things that I've realized, you know, the adult summer, you know, things start warming up and then suddenly you just watch this just calamity of weekends stretch out before you as like they just like, nope, bloop, something there. Mm-hmm. Bloop,
bloop. You're booked.
Yeah. And just like, oh yeah, every weekend somebody's claiming it. I'm like, oh no. I want to stay home, damn it.
Even with like, the thing like a monkey's claw, or the monkey with hard of hearing, you know, you're like, I just want to spend my life, you know, reading books every weekend. And they're like, what? You want to be booked every weekend?
Yeah. There you go. Bye-bye. Yeah, so that's what I'm running into, is just a whole bunch of, even if some of it's stuff that I kind of want to do, you know, the closer sure. You get to a plan, the more it's like, I could cancel that, and it would be the best feeling in the world. Yeah. So maybe that's just a me problem. I don't know.
Usually safe to assume.
Yeah.
just always blame yourself for everything and nobody will spend that much effort trying to change your mind.
Yeah. How you doing, Dennis?
I'm doing good. I'm just blaming myself for being sick, I guess, is what I should be blaming myself for.
Are you sick? I know you sneezed when we were setting up. But
I didn't know. I think that was just normal allergies. But Barrett and I had a good, like, father son. We are both wiped out, sit on the couch and watch Dr. Seuss all day.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
And so, yeah, just spent a good day laid out in the past week. Mm-hmm. But nothing too crazier than that. I'm trying to think if there's anything that is video game related, but not specifically video games that I can.
You can't admit that
games?
How can I undermine?
You can't admit that it's an actual project of yours to.
No, have you followed the news? Everyone's just saying The Quiet Part out loud now.
Yeah, I suppose. So. Yeah, so you just might as well lay everything out.
Yeah.
Wah wah wah.
No, I'm doing good, and we are through that. I put this in the Level backstage. Next week and the week after, I will be out because we are leaving on Tuesday and getting back on Tuesday from the Joshua Tree Music Festival in California.
Oh. Mm.
And so the line I've been telling everyone is we are going to go be hippies for a week.
Mm-hmm.
This is the whole family, all five of us, got an Airbnb out in Joshua Tree, and it's a great festival, family friendly, lots of like, it's got a reputation for like discovering artists. It's just a real like cool atmosphere. There's lots of music stuff and wellness stuff, and it's going to be great. So you won't hear me for a while. And that is why.
Yeah. See, when you say discovering artists, I can't help but imagine not someone like learning new artists, but someone being like, dude, did you know that there's these people called artists?
They make stuff. There's nothing there. And then there's something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Nice. Well, I hope you have a good time in the desert.
Yeah, and I'll probably play video games there. There. Ha, video game adjacent.
I mean, it was assumed. I think all of us could throw that on the end of ours and it would be yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
what's the point of our lives if it's not video game related, right guys?
It's true. What in our life could not be video game related?
Oh my gosh. Ben, how about you?
Yeah, I had a fun weekend. One of my old coworkers from Austin, Texas came into town and I went on a bar crawl on Saturday, which I realized I think I'm too old to do bar crawls, but But it was still fun. It was I did it around my neighborhood in Capitol Hill and got to go to a few places that I had not been to before. Mm-hmm. And we started out at one of my favorite breweries. It's called Optimism Brewery, and we played a board game there. So, haha, game adjacent.
No, it still counts. I mean, I would say that was a thing that you did. The bar mm-hmm. crawl thing was the first part of it. Yeah, going to a third location drunk is I don't have any of that in me anymore.
I ordered the locations of the places we went by most to least embarrassed I'd be by showing up slightly intoxicated. So,
okay.
Yeah.
That's probably wise.
That's smart. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, the problem is if you're the type of person that when you get drunk, you lose the ability to be embarrassed.
Yeah. That's why I made this when I was sober.
That's the thing, yeah.
Okay, so you're saying you order it by, if I was sober, this is where I would be embarrassed to be drunk.
Exactly, yes. Yeah.
Okay. It's kind of an Inception thing.
If someone was recording me, like how likely would I be to watch that video and not cringe?
See, I think my issue is just, I went to multiple places drunk back when I lived someplace where public transportation was a thing.
Mm-hmm. San Francisco.
But since then,
Lyft is a very expensive public transportation.
That's gotten really costly. Let's see, David, how about you?
So this past weekend, our local artist commune has a cat cafe called the Caddy Shack, which is an amazing name. And you know, it's basically, it's all shelter cats that you can go and pay some money to play with, and if you want, you know, adopt them when they're done, or if not, just, you know, the money you spent, you know, goes towards taking care of the cats.
Nice.
But then once a year they have a big benefit festival called the Catapalooza, or Kittypalooza.
Kittypalooza sounds better.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was this past weekend. So just, you know, an entire thing of, you know, cat themed shenanigans.
Did the cats get overwhelmed, or did the cats kind of self select for being okay being around a bunch of people?
Definitely, some of the cats got overwhelmed. Like, yes. They had. Even like outside of the cafe, they had, you know, cats that you could like pay $5 or $10 or something, like hold and play with and mm-hmm. that sort of thing. And I didn't see any cats get like hissy or, you know, bitey or anything like that. But there were definitely cats that you could tell, like, I do not want to people anymore.
Not hissy,
but definitely pissy.
Yes.
Yeah, it's kind of, I would like to not be in this room right now, please.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Nice. So yeah, it was, but you know, it was good. I got some cute cat pictures. Some of my friends did some belly dancing to, you know, help raise money.
Hmm.
You know, just all sorts of things.
Cool. Yeah, no, that sounds like a great way to meet a bunch of cats.
Yep.
Rad as hell.
Yeah.
Some real cool cats.
Yeah. And I really don't have much of anything. I'm just excited that Akewood's back.
Yeah, I saw that. I thought about actually doing that as a news item this time. It's now AI
Akewood? No. So this that's really misunderstood, actually. So Chris Onstad, so Akewood is a webcomic that I love and have loved since high school.
I feel like the internet loves.
Yeah, but it's really, like, for me, real personally.
Totally.
And it kind of went away, just, you know, just the creator kind of has kind of like really fertile periods and then just kind of goes away without saying anything. It's back now. He's launched a Patreon and is funding it there and has a whole bunch of content actually like already kind of stretched out, but he has made, you know, worked with, you know, some developers to make like a chatbot that speaks in the voice of one of the characters, Ray Smuckles, to do like a like an advice column kind of thing. And he's also using it to help generate his own ideas. The thing that makes this difference to me is he has, you know, hundreds and thousands of words of text, all kind of in his own style, you know, all exactly in his own style. And that is the corpus that the AI is drawing from. So it's kind of like, you know, it's not drawing from a bunch of other things. It's like, all right, if I put in these variables, let me see what this gives me back as inspiration, and then, you know, work it in there. So it's almost like, I don't know, setting up a bunch of tables and then rolling die as a brainstorming activity. I think the way people are characterizing it just by seeing AI, trust me, I'm as big of a backlash on that as anybody. I'm gonna trust here.
Oh, so, yeah. So yeah. I wasn't even, I mean, that it's more just, to me, I don't know, even just straight up, like, AI Akewood seems like a super Akewood thing to do.
Yeah.
Just to like, kind of low-key pseudo-depression.
Mm-hmm. yep. To pull a quote from an interview that he gave, I don't feel like it's entirely cheating to say, like, hey, Chris's entire body of work with perfect recall and statistical weighting give me a Chris type idea. Which is exactly what it is. Yeah, I think
that's like, pretty good
for somebody who is prone to burnout, who also has, you know, at least as the crow flies, 20 plus years of webcomics hanging around, plus blogs and stuff. Yeah, worst things you can do to operationalize that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But now, I'm just so excited.
So he's also done some, this isn't quite the right term, but like professional work, right?
Oh, I have no idea. I don't know.
Has he, like, I don't know, written for some TV shows or something like that? I thought there was something like that.
I don't know. I'm only interested in his Akewood work. Yeah.
Fair enough.
But
he could have been president. Cole wouldn't give a shit.
Actually, no. Can that be a thing? Can he be president?
I don't know that I'd like that. I think I just want him making more Akewood, because I want to see what those characters get into in Junk. Yeah. Yeah, so that's my answer, and I think that we should do a regular kind of show, what with the grind, the multiplayer, and the end boss. And why don't we get started with
The Grind,
where we talk about the games we have been playing over the past period of time or so. David, I understand you've been playing something new.
Sort of.
Okay.
I've been playing more Redfall and have come to the conclusion that, yeah, I think Dennis was right about this one.
Yeah.
Let that be a lesson. I'm always right about everything.
Noted. Yeah, it's... you know, I'm still enjoying it. It's still entertaining, that sort of thing. But yeah, I really want to see the postmortem on this one.
Yeah.
Because I'm not even so much upset about some of the performance stuff that's like, hey, how come we keep releasing PC games that are just straight up not ready to be released?
Mm-hmm.
But it's more just... I don't understand. This is, in a lot of ways, an Arcane game that just fails at Arcane type stuff.
Right.
Just like, I guess it's more, it wouldn't be as weird if it was just like, hey, we're not doing that thing we normally do. But it's things like, they very explicitly have, like, the incidental dialogue. That's kind of one of the things they're known for. Except maybe like a quarter of what they would normally have.
Yeah.
So like most of the NPCs that are not named NPCs, their dialogue is literally just like, you know, grunt sound. Like it's just like sighs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it's really weird. I don't know why they just...
Was anyone clamoring for their next game?
I don't know.
Arcane? God, yeah. Yeah.
Well, like, they Deathloop wasn't that long ago, was it?
I mean, a couple years?
I think the people who like their games are very passionate.
Yeah, the people who like their games want more of their games to come out.
Yeah, I guess about a monkey's paw.
To balance it a bit, I mean, I love Deathloop, but I'm not clamoring or anything for their next game. I'd rather a functional game than what...
I guess the weird thing to me is, like, I can understand, like, if you look at something like Dark Souls 3, that, like, probably wasn't you know, like a great Dark Souls game, but it was competently a Dark Souls game. Mm-hmm. Whereas this is not just like, oh, you didn't manage to again make a, like, you know, game of the year quality game. It's like you failed at stuff that you easily could have not failed at.
Yeah.
Like just not having dialogue, you could have just recorded more dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's very, very odd in that respect. The other thing that's kind of weird, which is just interesting to me, is the fact that they have multiple characters, and so they can't rely on the player basically always reliably having a get to high locations ability. Mm-hmm. Means that they kind of can't, to the same degree, build their game around assuming you have a get to high locations ability. So I know, it's just, it's really weird that it's like, wow, you guys somehow managed to make double jump not fun anymore.
Yeah, I mean, just everything that I'm hearing is that they kind of performed a very expensive experiment in both money and in goodwill to determine whether or not multiplayer co-op is mutually exclusive with the things people really seem to love about their games.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, it's very bizarre. You know, I think this, I could see this potentially if they really wanted to, you know, I think they could make this a good game and, you know, have a redemption thing.
I agree with that. There's nothing inherent in the foundation of the game that makes it not viable. It is all poor execution.
Right.
And that's heartbreaking.
I think the biggest thing that would be kind of somewhat inherent to it is just the, you know, having different classes with different abilities and that making it hard to build things around assuming you have those abilities.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I guess you could just, you know, put in more opportunities.
I don't know. There are other games that have had, you know, multiplayer with different classes.
Right. Exactly. Well. Exactly.
But I mean, like, even just specifically with the arcane style world that is kind of always designed for multiple approaches based on, you know, mm-hmm. okay, there are four possible abilities and at least three of them are going to be viable in one situation outside of brute force, right?
Right, exactly.
When you have, you know, characters who have to be something more than just that one kind of ability, and you can't count on, you know, kind of like cross operation, you know, the cross operability, I guess, between them, mm-hmm. you know, any kind of overlap, you end up with these weird, not every shape is going to fit in the shape sorter kind of deal.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, I do think the core kind of story or world they've created, that sort of thing, I do think has some interesting legs. I know, for me, you'd be hard pressed to, you know, make a game that, you know, is like New England town with dark secrets that doesn't land for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think there are good things for it. It'll be interesting to see where they go. I could see them making right on this because my understanding is that Microsoft pretty explicitly gave them a lot of money and a lot of free reign, and so it sounds like this very much could be a thing where it's kind of they're going to be obligated to make it right.
Probably everything that I saw was both Bethesda and Microsoft blaming the other.
For why things
ended up. Yeah, the corporate communication around it is a weird thing. But the nature of the deal and the nature of the way that this was released does make me wonder. You know, again, we're getting these, like, this is all test cases. It's an experiment in a game where the majority of people, not the majority, where a lot of people are going to be playing it through Game Pass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and because people are playing that and playing something on Game Pass has an entirely different value proposition. Like, are people going to be more willing to give them a second chance if all that going back to, if they don't feel that like they've been burned out of more than just the download time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this would be very problematic if it was a game someone paid full price for.
Right. But also that's, you know, I've got no idea what the breakdown is because everybody is so tight-lipped on the metrics on this kind of stuff.
It's a like, strategic advantage.
I think about anything that comes out on Game Pass as being like that is the primary thing forward, like even outside of the system, right? Because who cares about the Xbox Series X or whatever? But like, I don't know, what is the percentage of people who bought this on Steam and refunded it? What's the percentage of people who got this? Is it even on PS5? I've got no idea. Yeah. It's weird. It is a weird title, and it's weird to see that they botched it this much.
And I saw a chart of like the playership over the first week, and it's down to like a tenth of what it was on the first 2 days.
That's not what you want to see.
No. Yeah.
The other thing, and this doesn't matter because I'm not going to be playing this multiplayer, but if this was a good multiplayer experience, the other like foot gun I saw is apparently there's no matchmaking.
Mm. Oh. What?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be playing with anybody who's not my friend anyway, so that's not a huge concern.
Yeah.
I would not want to do that at all.
Fair enough.
No. Well, I'm sorry it didn't turn around for you.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm still playing it. It's still, you know, more fun than, let's see, what else was released on whatever else has been, you know, released for free. So
yeah,
as a thing, Mass Effect 2, apparently.
Mass Effect 2 is a good game.
Oh yeah. True. It's also like what, like a 30-year-old game.
Yeah, it's 14 years old. It's 14 years old. Oh, what else you got?
That's it.
Okay. Somebody earlier had said that I think Ben had said you were playing Darkest Dungeon 2, so that's why I threw to you so confidently.
Oh, no. I have been debating. I've been eyeing the Let's Plays, and no, that is
gotcha.
Probably next week that will be my go-to.
Gotcha. Although
they made a roguelike. How could you do this to me?
was the first one not a roguelike?
You were built. That's just everything.
What you mean
you're okay. Yeah, you were building up the village, which was constant. So like for your characters, it was roguelike. For you, it was like building a party. Yeah, you're upgrading your town. Yeah,
for I feel you, like so it was roguelike. For me, it was Tuesday.
Yes, but Tuesday's when we record. Yeah, mm-hmm.
It is Tuesday. Hey,
yeah,
spooky man.
Ben, how about you?
I do have one thing that's new, but I'm going to talk about the old thing first.
That'll show them.
I'm still playing Jedi Survivor. It's gotten a little bit better. I have now seen like the open world kind of strings in it. Mm-hmm. They give you a base. They give you things to do at the base. It's kind of cool. They give you like a Tabs mini game. And I think that is kind of emblematic of the game itself where... Tabs. Totally Accurate Battle Simulator.
Huh.
It's cool how it's unlocks, like you just meet a random person in the world and they're like, oh, thanks for saving us. We're going to go back to this bar that you just told us about. If you want to play this game, like come over and talk to us. And it's like, sweet, we got a Gwent in this game. Let's go check it out. Mm-hmm. And it's, instead of it being Gwent exactly, it's like Tabs or whatever, where it's okay. Like you can fight other people. It's more like a, what do you call it? Those games where it's like you buy units and they fight an auto battler.
Yeah. Auto battler. Okay. Yeah.
So it's like that. And you can fight like, other like people that you've met or collected at your home base up to this point, with varying degrees of difficulty and varying, rewards. But it also shows like kind of like, so it's a sweet idea, like embedded in the game, but then it's like, it shows the lack of polish and the lack of like finishedness of this game. Yep. Where, you know, it's like, there's only one dialogue recording for the character you're playing for like their intro and their exit. And they just say that over and over again. There's a commentator who says the same lines over and over again. And so it's like, okay, so this was, you know, it's like, it's one thing if it was something that was kind of tacked on at the end and maybe it's better than nothing, but at the same time, it's like, given the context of knowing that, you know, they, you know, had delays for this game and kind of shipped it out unfinished, it's like, yeah, this could have used a couple more passes. And then the cherry on top was that the game crashed as I was doing this, playing the mini game
on the PS5.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have heard people say that it's crashing their PS5, which is a wild thing to hear.
Yeah. And the thing that's crazy is it's a mini game within it. You know, it's like, this should be a very isolated environment.
They trusted the intern with it.
Yeah.
I just don't think of a console being something that crashes. Like, I've had that. I've had the, you know, like basically the PlayStation equivalent or the blue screen, you know, oh, something's went wrong. Do you want us to upload the error thing? But
Kind of a compendium with this was, I thought about making this my news story, but they released a patch today. It's like their patch 4 is what they're calling it. And I looked through like the list of things that they have, and it's like they're fixing various crashes, but then some of the things are like various save state errors. It's like, well, that sounds bad. And it's like a collision bug where your players get stuck inside a building and can't get out. It's like, oh yeah, you should be fixing those things, or maybe you shouldn't have released with that type of stuff. But I don't know. It's one of those things where it's like, it's hard to say. I mean, it's easy to point the finger at EA because it's EA. But yeah, it could have used probably another month or two, but then at the same time, I understand, like, if you're a software engineer and you've already delayed things a couple times, like the amount of pressure you face to get something out, but
no,
I don't know, shrug. So overall, game's okay. It's not too different of an experience from the first game. I think the combat's like way easier. Because I think I mentioned this last week, I picked a one difficulty easier than the normal mode. Because I picked on the first game, I picked the normal mode. And then when it got to bosses, it was like too Dark Souls-y and too difficult for me that I just kicked it down one. Mm-hmm. So I started out there, but it's kind of like the opposite problem now where it's like way too easy. One thing that's kind of cool that they've added in this game is there's different stances you can have when you're attacking. I don't remember this from the first game, but perhaps it was there.
It's something they pulled over from Neo specifically, is my understanding.
Okay. And it's like much more differentiated. So like, you know, you have your regular where it's like, you can have a single lightsaber, you can have a dual wheel or like a Darth Maul style lightsaber, or you can split like in episode 3, I guess, and have one in each hand. But then they even extend beyond that where it's like, you can do a lightsaber blaster combination, and that kind of has its own moveset and kind of its own rules where it's like you run out of ammo in your blaster, but if you strike people with a lightsaber, it refills the ammo. Mm-hmm. They have one that's similar to the one Darth Dude from episode 7.
Darth Dude, yes.
Oh,
remember him well.
Han Solo's son, yeah.
Not Adrian Brody, I forget the
Adam
name.
Adam Brody, yeah. That's got his like cross guard thing where that's got
Adam Driver.
You Adam mean? Driver,
that's the one. Yeah.
Who is Adam Brody?
I don't know.
That's
I got it mostly right.
That's a halfway point between him and Adrian Brody.
the same. Hey, it's the nose.
Yeah.
But they have a stance that's like similar to his where it's like hyper aggressive, like hard hitting, but like really slow wind ups, and it has like the kind of like side guards on it.
Those side guards are so dumb.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not wrong. They make more sense in a video game where it's like realism is not a desire, I guess, as much. But I don't know. So there's like cool touches like that. There's like kind of cool ideas like here and there that they added. But yeah, seldom are they very fleshed out. So I don't know. It's definitely a mixed bag. It's not as bad as Cyberpunk. Like it hasn't crashed like 7 times in 2 days or anything like that. But
could there be any weaker praise?
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. Lukewarm. Like if you really like the first game, then it might be worth your time, bugs included. But if you like bounced off the first game, yeah, there's probably not a lot for you here. So right, on to another game ? That's kind of similar, where I played the DLC for Case of the Golden Idol. This dropped last Thursday or Friday, I think. It's good, but it's short, and it's not as good value as the first game. But since the first game was so good, this just balances out the value proposition.
So the first game was like, what, 4 chapters with 4 scenes each in it? Or it was like 5? It was like 5 different time periods, right?
I think it was like 3 per chapter, and yeah, it was like four maybe full ones, and then there's maybe one epilogue. So it's like 13 chapters maybe.
Yeah.
This one is just one set of three puzzles. None of the puzzles are overly simple. And definitely like the last two, like there's a good amount of work on them. But it is a very short campaign. I loved it. Like I played it, it's like maybe like 2 to 4 hours to go through all the DLC.
I mean, the base game isn't that long either. I think my play clock on it was like 6 hours. So
Oh, really?
if we're doing time to, maybe, you know, maybe time to dollar.
Yeah, maybe I just took a lot longer on the base game, I guess, because I thought I got like maybe 10 to 12 hours out of it. But I think so. The base game, I think, costs like $10, $15 maybe for that. This one costs like $5 or $6 for the DLC. So if I just had the DLC and that was it for that price proposition, I would say like that's a little bit like lacking on value, I guess. But granted,
$5.
Yeah. I know it's different for everybody, I guess.
Yeah.
But granted that like I love the original base game and thought that that was a high value proposition, I figure that this is fine as like a balance out, and this is like a fine tip to them essentially. Like I should have paid like $5 more on the original game because it was that good.
Yeah.
So I'm fine with that from that standpoint, I guess, if that makes sense.
Like the people that are buying this already know that it is going to be extremely their jam.
Yeah,
that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Stories. Oh, so good.
My play clock on Case of the Golden Idol was like 6 hours. So like $5 for what you described sounds perfect to me.
Okay. Yeah, I think the game's good. The narrative, I won't spoil anything about it, but it is tied into the base game to some degree. So there is it adds more context to the base game story. But it's like the levels are about as complicated as the base game. It's probably like you could think of the levels as like one from each of the set of three in this one, but it kind of maybe skips like the first set of three. So it you know, the complexities like ramps up very quickly. Like the second level, you're already doing like as complicated things as like the last or the second to last set in the base game.
That's what I was going to ask, is like, is this picking up assuming that you have played the whole base campaign?
Probably.
And therefore, like, you know some of the tricks that it's throwing at you, like, deductively about, like, specifically who and what you should be paying attention to, let's say.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, very similar play mechanics as the base game, where it's like, it doesn't feel unfair at all. Like you can figure out enough information that you can start to like piece together things in the inspect mode or whatever and get things close enough that you can figure it out and get to the end without too many issues. So yeah, I don't want to belabor it too much. The narrative's semi-interesting. It's, you know, shorter, but it does have like a little bit of surprises to it. And, yeah, it's good. So, I mean, if you like the base game, this is worth your time for sure.
Yeah.
If you haven't played the base game, why not? Go play it.
This is the Spider of Lanka is the name of the DLC pack.
Yeah, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, they might be advertising it as like a series. Like
it's Golden Idol Mysteries.
Yeah, so if they keep adding DLC for it, I'm fine with that, as long as they keep the quality bar up. So
yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot that came out. I should have played that this weekend.
That's all good. But it's always another weekend.
Yeah, how dare.
Yeah. Nice. Well, it's good to know that it rang true for you.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's all I got.
Cool. Dennis.
Yeah. So mostly I have continued playing GTFO.
Oh, yeah.
And this game has made me very happy. Continues to be really fun co-op action. The big new thing was like we kind of got to a point where like so far I've still only played the first two levels, the tutorial and the first two levels, but I was getting pretty good at them. And I was like, I bet I can solo these.
Nope.
Narrator voice, you could not solo these. I spent all this time like in the very first level being careful and taking out the sleepers and kind of getting everything set up. And then the very first alarm door, it wasn't even close. So there are these choke points where you have to open a door that sets off an alarm and sends a horde running at you. And while that's happening, your HUD will put spots on the ground that you have to stand in for a certain amount of time. And so as like a crazy horde is swarming around, you also need to be figuring out like who's standing where and have you stood there long enough and all this stuff. It's complete chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, that's kind of the, every mission hinges on opening those doors as you go through. At least, you know, the first two, right? Here I am talking like I know anything.
What, just out of curiosity, what's the diegetic reason for like, you need to stand on the floor in this position?
Bioscans. So it's taking biometric readings down there.
Okay.
And you need to like be, you know, you're like the surveyor holding the thingy, where you have to stand in different spots to, so it can like orient itself.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But yeah, so that is a very well done kind of section that's been in everything I've played so far. And very, very hard to solo, I learned. So yeah, gonna stick to co-oping that one. As I've played more, I've noticed more and more of just like the little touches, in animations and stuff like that. And there's just some really good stuff. The big one is, there was an enemy charge me. I blew its head off. It fell down and then it kept on skittering on all fours. And I was like, yeah. Just like really well done horror in all these small. So
straight out of the thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, nope, that didn't kill it. That was a great shot. Did not stop it. So, yeah, GTFO, very fun. And, I will continue playing that.
Hmm.
The other thing that's kind of an add on to something that I've been playing, continuously is in Magic the Gathering, a new set, I guess, released today or like a mini set or something. I haven't looked at that yet. But I discovered a new format to play that has been a ton of fun. So this is called the Curiosity format. And the thing that stands out most to me is that it's very, very accessible. Whereas, you know, even the standard format, in Magic the Gathering kind of feels like there's a lot of cards you have to have. So the Curiosity format only uses cards from the most recent packs. And it, only allows you to have two one ofs of the mythic and rare level, which is the two highest levels, and only allows you to have six cards total of the uncommon level, and you can only have a max two of for each of those cards. So basically three pairs of uncommons, and then everything else has to be commons, but you also can't have more than three of each common.
Okay. And
what that, I'm sure that sounded like word soup, right? What that means is you can have a very competitive card pool for the format very quickly without having to invest much at all. Like crack a couple of packs and you're ready to go.
So I was going to say, for reference, like a normal deck is like 60 cards and you can have
this is four. 40.
Yeah.
So this is fewer cards in a deck and the kind of limited to being the more common cards. And then every week there's a tournament and the rare or mythic rare cards that, are in more than one of the winning decks at that tournament get banned for the next week. And so it is a very easy to get into format that changes very quickly. And those two things
meta.
you wouldn't expect those things to go together, right? Like if it changes quickly, then you constantly have to be investing to keep up with it. But no, it's actually a format that, you can kind of just focus on the deck building and like have fun just trying stupid stuff. And it all changes so fast that like, you know, maybe you get away with it, maybe you don't, and next week you're going to be figuring something else out. So
I wonder if it ever devolves to like a ping pong state where it's like, this is the best deck, this is the second best deck, and we just alternate between those two.
Yeah. Well, so the cool thing is if a card gets banned for a second week at any point, it's banned for good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So kind of, you can ping pong, or you can ping, but you can't pong, I guess.
Hmm.
Well, so then it's like a black hole. So eventually everything's banned.
Yeah. Yeah. At a certain point you have to set a cap on the number of weeks.
They release the new cards.
Yeah. Basically. So yeah, it just like, this has revitalized my enjoyment. I'd been feeling a bit stale in Magic, and just this idea, the one major drawback is this is not officially supported. you got to go to like the Discord for it and say, hey, who wants to play some Curiosity? And then you queue up with someone. And you know, that can mean you're playing the same person over and over or what have you. But yeah, it's just been, it's revitalized my enjoyment of deck building for Magic the Gathering. And that is Curiosity format. Check it out.
For a section in Magic the Gathering Arena.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
You don't have to sell your soul to play it.
Okay.
And it's lots of fun.
I was going to say, you're being like a very bad friend to Ben by enabling, yeah, by tempting him like this.
I feel like selling your soul, though, would be very, you know, on brand for the Magic world, at least if you're playing a black deck.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you can sell your soul, but if two people sell their souls, then it's banned the next week. So.
Okay.
Two soul maximum.
Two soul maximum. Who knew a soul was an uncommon?
You don't want to go beyond two souls.
Ooh, that was quick. God
damn it. Oh, there's no point in recording anymore. We've peaked.
Yep, there we go. Oh, that was very quick.
Wrap up the podcast.
Well done. It's like we planned that.
Oh, God. Yeah, so that's what I've been playing this week.
Cool. And I've got just a wet fart because a new Picross game came out, Picross S9. When I say this, I might as well just say like, oh, they published a new book of crosswords. And I went down to the newsstand and I bought the new book of crosswords. And then I took it back and I filled it out of my armchair. I think the new feature is they added touchscreen controls in this one.
So like, what? There's no way they didn't already have touchscreen controls.
No, I don't think they did. Yeah.
Wow.
Huh. So like, would it be accurate to say Picross is like Sudoku if you drew a picture?
Yeah, Picross is like Sudoku for visual thinkers. Yeah, it's just like a logic puzzle where a grid drawing is defined by numbers on two of the axes.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. No, and very rarely do you look at something or you fill in something out and say, yes, this is a dog's nose, and then fill in and it's correct. But sometimes it can help you figure out like, okay, like it from this point upward, it's messed up. Were there any bad assumptions that I made that could have led to that? So then you go and undo it and then usually get it untangled. But like, it's literally the same game it's always been. Like, I don't know, these yearly releases that they put out, it's literally just, I mean, it's more than yearly. It's just like, hey, sicko, do you want 300 more of these puzzles? And occasionally there are like multi-part ones, and occasionally they're like, you know, some ones that are in color. So you have to like look at the coding and put the right color dot in the correct place. But like, still Picross, and I feel ridiculous talking about it other than to say like there's a bunch of this waiting for you if you want something that is not going to take too much of your attention but also is not just staring into the middle distance.
Let's not downplay that a thing that gives you joy, continually having more of that thing is such a nice thing to have.
I'm not even like downplaying it. It's just a matter of like, you know, oftentimes when we talk about stuff on here, it's in order to make a recommendation, right? It's to say like, hey, is this thing worth paying attention to? You know, by looking at these and taking it apart, I feel like I've said everything that I have to say about Picross. However, like here is a new thing and it is continuing to fulfill that role, which is for a few weeks after one of these comes out, like I've got something to do for, you know, 20, 30 minutes before I go to bed at night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, I feel like, you know, the whole more of a thing you love is amazing. You know, that way lies live service games.
Yeah. But these are like, it's $10 once a year when they come out. Not even that. Right. It's not.
Oh, yeah.
This is the humblest of live stream games.
Yeah. It's just, do you want it? Okay. Mm-hmm. No? Okay. Yeah. So it doesn't even have a hook like that Sega Genesis one that I talked about a while back, or oh man, Pokemon Picross back on the 3DS where you're drawing Pokemon. No, this is just regular stuff. There's not even like themed, just little images. There you go.
You're sounding eerily similar to Ricky Bobby and Talladega Nights. I think I'm gonna be a crack dealer, like just a friendly one though. Like, hey, how's it going? You want some crack?
Yeah. So I feel ridiculous bringing that, but like the only, like I've not done much else. Like I feel like Yeah, I'm rounding the bend on the RE4 remake, but we've talked about what we can talk about with that. I'm just finishing that up on stream, and that's fun. But yeah, no, have everything else has been homework.
Have you gotten to the island yet in RE4?
I just got there Saturday. Yeah. Cool. It's neat, but like, I don't know. I feel like I need to see the totality of it to be able to say more.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But that's where I'm at.
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, where we ask you a question and then you answer it. Dennis, what is the question that you asked the nice people?
Yeah, I wanted to know about weird games. So what game takes the cake in terms of weirdness? This could be creepy weird, funny weird, or a combination of both.
Hmm. And no cake takers cannot be the answer to the question here. Yeah. I'll get us started here with Callum, who says Earthworm Jim, but it was trying, so I don't know if that counts. Yeah. Also, Earthworm Jim's character designer is kind of a monster. So,
oh no.
Kind of takes a little bit of that. Yeah. Doug Tenapple, real big, real big homophobe.
Was there some connection between Earthworm Jim and eventually Naughty Dog?
I don't think so. That? Maybe there was some personnel.
Maybe I'm thinking of Earl and Toe Jam or whatever.
Maybe.
Earl. Yeah.
Don't know. But yeah, that was weird.
Huh.
Yeah. David, what does Peter say?
Peter says, I've seen quite a fair share of weird games, though some were so weird that I can't even remember the name. The one that does stick out for me is Mr. Mosquito.
Mr. Mosquito's a weird one.
You gotta, I take it you are a mosquito who is a mister?
Yeah, you're a mosquito who is tormenting this specific Japanese family. You're by feeding on them in these different levels as they get kind of more and more driven insane by the fact that a mosquito is constantly biting them, the levels get harder. But it's like a little flight sim. It's like a combination stealth flight sim where you have to, you know, go in, land on and attack the correct parts of their body, then get away before they swat you.
Huh.
Yeah.
The only thing I know about this game is that my library had a copy of it for rental.
Mm-hmm.
Which like in a selection, it was like this and myth, or excuse me, and mist.
No.
This and myth. No, this and mist were like the two games in my library.
Yeah. If they still have it, it's worth a pretty penny, about $100.
Yeah, I believe it. It was like, I think it was a PC port though.
Oh yeah. I don't know. Maybe that would be, even rarer. Yeah. I only know the PS2 version. Yeah.
Yeah. My library has since turned into a senior center. It moved somewhere else. So I will have to see.
Yeah. Huh. It'd be funny if it was not from anything the library did. It was just a shift in clientele that naturally happened over time. Yeah.
There was a mosquito that drove out all the paying customers. And
it's a real shame.
Paying customers in a library.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Okay. Fines. Ben, what does David say?
Thank you for resisting the urge to give David, by the way. Hey. But David says, when Katamari Damacy came out, I was mind blown how odd it was to me. Just rolling shit up, King of Cosmos being extremely strange as well, as the prince being an odd little chum too. Honorable mentions go to Getting Over It with Bennett Foddy and Thumper.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Getting Over It, man.
There's a re-release of We Heart Katamari coming out here pretty soon, is my understanding. That's the one of the two good ones that I haven't spent any time with, really.
Mm.
So,
man, every once in a while, I just open up the soundtrack for Katamari Damacy, and
oh, it's perfect.
And I'm happy for a bit.
Yeah. And yeah, I've not beaten Getting Over with Bennett Foddy. I got pretty far, but you know, I fell.
Isn't like the end of that game like designed specifically to like you fall back to the beginning?
Oh yeah,
yes.
You're on a big outcropping that'll drop you right back where you started.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
is there a name for that genre of games yet? Because I know there's like several of them, like Jump King and other ones.
Rage baiters,
streamer bait.
Yeah, I don't know. Challenge fuck, massacre. Although that has different that has different connotations. Like massacre tends to be like platformers. I don't know, bullet hell shooter kind of things. Mm. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know of like getting over it likes, but Those are the only three responses we had this time. Mine, because of abject suffering, I'm exposed to a lot of them. and the oddest stuff that you see is kind of very obvious first projects that somebody has done on Steam.
Sure.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know, one that we did a while ago is called Eyeballs Are Your Enemies.
And go on.
you're just a guy, and you're in a circular arena, and you have like a little air puff gun kind of thing. It's like a first person shooter, and these eyeballs fall from the sky, and then you have to like puff, like push those balls out of the arena, and dry them out.
Do they get redder?
No. That would require modeling too much. It's literally just like trying to blow beach balls out of a wrestling ring with a leaf blower, except their eyes. That's called Eyeballs Are Your Enemies.
Why can I picture this so well?
You could also look it up on Steam.
this makes perfect
sense. It sounds
like
a Silent Hill, but for somebody dealing with going to the optometrist.
Yeah. We did one today. An episode will be coming out about muscle giants. Muscle giants. You're a beefy bodybuilder man with ridiculous proportions who has to
it's
like an arena shooter where you're throwing barbells at bigger beefy bodybuilder men, aiming specifically for their junk in their you know, thongs, whatever, banana hammock kind of things, to do more damage. And they get bigger and bigger, and they're like big boss ones. Later they start acting like animals and stuff and start charging at you. One, they're fish. Yeah, there's a shitload of weird stuff on Steam. And if you do a show that's about bad or weird games, you're gonna find them. Like, they're just gonna like straight come to you. Mm-hmm. So yeah, my answer is gonna be like eyeballs are your enemies or muscle giants. Like, they're there. They're out there for you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. David, how about you? Weird game.
Okay, so I'm gonna have to go through a few because I love weird games. One is a classic. Are you familiar with The Prisoner?
The Prisoner, the television series?
So they made a game based on it.
It's an old PC adventure game, right?
Right. And yeah. Kind of the plot line is you're a former spy who's on a island in this little town, and for some reason you've resigned from being a spy, but it's a secret why you did it, and the people in the town are secretly like agents trying to figure out why you resigned.
Mm-hmm.
And your secret is abstractly represented in game by this number that you're given at the start of the game that you must never tell anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
And so the game is a, adventure game where you're trying to, escape this village and that sort of thing. And, the villagers are trying to get you to give up their secrets, all normal. But there's also instances where the game will just try to trick you into giving up the secret.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most famous examples is this was, back very, very early in, in computing, when if you were playing a computer game, you were someone who, knew some basic programming, that sort of thing.
But by early, like the first one came out for the Apple II in 1980.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And so one of the things it would do is have a fake Apple crash where the error code was, equal to your secret number. But you were actually still in the game. So if you opened up the fake terminal and searched for, like, what is the error code, you technically entered your secret number and lose the game.
Wow, oh man.
Also, famously, the game was supposedly used as a training tool by the CIA.
That would be pretty good marketing.
Yep. Some other just weird ones. Cubivore for the GameCube, which
people
is,
love that. Yeah,
yeah, sort of a proto. Was it Tokyo Jungle or whatever?
Ooh.
Except much janky and basically anticipating the whole Minecraft. What if everything was a square? Mm-hmm. Long before Minecraft. Probably highlight of that is that when you get enough food, you can, you know, breed. And before doing that, your animal writes this weird love poem.
Mm-hmm.
That appears to maybe be procedurally generated or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one is, if you ever want to just see something freaking weird, check out, let me get the guy's name, Jack King Spooner on Itch.io. Makes just weird mindfuck games. The one I'm familiar with is Will You Ever Return? Which is basically about a guy who dies and goes to hell, and you're just kind of wandering through hell, and it's all just weird, like, claymation dioramas that you're kind of wandering through.
Huh.
Just weird, like, pseudo avant-garde experimental games that make very little sense.
Yeah, itch art games.
Yep.
Nice. Let's see. Ben, how about you?
I'm gonna go back to my old staple of there's a guy who does streams that I don't think he has done lately named Radiator Yang, who works in the video game industry, but he also makes a bunch of short video games. I went to his YouTube channel, and as of 2 years ago, he released Hard Lads, a free masculinity simulator video game. So he's still making weird games.
I think I've seen this one. Like a whole collection of.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. There we go. Yeah. That would fit.
Oh, wait, I totally skipped over. There's Logjam, and there's also Good Authority, and The Lonesome Valley, which is a free gay cowboy romance game, the first 10 minutes. So,
when will they stop swarming Steam with those?
There
are more sex games on Steam than you would like to admit, and hopefully...
Yeah.
I don't know, I was going to say, hopefully your filters have been tuned for them. I only say that because a lot of it is gross animation.
Yep.
Yeah.
Actually, can I throw out one more?
Sure.
Have any of you guys seen Mr. President?
Yes.
Mr. President.
No, I've never heard of this.
So you play as Dick Rockhard Johnson...
I love it already.
Yeah, a Secret Service agent. I'm sorry. A Secret Service agent who happens to be bulletproof. And you basically have to run and ragdoll in front of a sniper's shot to save the president.
However, is Donald Trump.
Technically Donald Rump.
Ronald Rump. But Ronald
I think it was
Donald.
Made before he was elected.
But as the game goes on, it gets progressively more over the top because there's levels where, like, you have to dive and, you know, like, tackle the president down, but he also has to, like, pass through a score ring.
Yeah. And the setting is, like, increasingly problematic as well, where it's, like, at the U.S.-Mexico border or somewhere else. Yeah.
Oh. I think somebody brought this to us a few years ago for Abject Suffering, and I think I may have vetoed it just because it was, I don't know, I don't want to do something that's political, even just because the conversation is just going to turn to Donald Trump and it's going to get depressing. We might be in a bit of a valley where it's only going to get more depressing again to talk about him. So now might be the time to try this.
Oh, yeah. It'll already get more depressing before it gets more depressing.
Well, if it gets more depressing. Well, all right. I don't want to start quoting. If it gets more depressing for him, it'll get more happier for us. But whatever. Anyway.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That could be good.
Hmm. And Dennis.
Yeah, so my pick would be something that I played at Arcade Legacy, which is Rhythm Tengoku. This was localized as Rhythm Heaven on Game Boy Advance.
Oh, that's a wonderful. Yeah, Rhythm Heaven's great.
Yeah, it's basically it's like a WarioWare, you know, mm-hmm. where it's a ton of mini games. They're all rhythm based, hence the name, and they are all completely wacky. Funny enough, I posted an image of WarioWare for this question, and the thing in common I found with Rhythm Tengoku is tweezing hairs.
Mm-hmm.
Seems to be a very common theme in this game. So,
it's the same team.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that. Yeah, very cool. So, you know, I think the weirdness for me, aside from just the overt, you know, dumb stuff that they put on screen, is also how fast it moves. And you don't have time to really consider anything that you're interacting with. And so you just kind of accept it. Like, okay, yep, this is going to be crazy.
It's actually a deep commentary on life.
I would believe that.
So the music rocks, but... Mm-hmm. It is one of the few instances where I will be like, oh, a rhythm game with music that I don't know can be acceptable and good, actually, because it is very much not about making music, but about feeling music and understanding mm-hmm. its rhythm and knowing what it is asking of you and getting into kind of the flow of it.
Okay, so I have to be high to play this game.
Maybe.
I mean, wouldn't hurt.
Yeah.
And then specifically the arcade edition that I got to play because, you know, take all the weirdness that the game already has. Now put yourself in the middle of an arcade and you're playing with these like big oversized buttons. Yeah. It's just hilarious. So yeah,
I had absolutely. No idea that there was an arcade version.
Me neither.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, weird games won it all. Thanks, folks, for responding. Thank you, Dennis, for posting it. If you would like to participate mm-hmm. in the multiplayer in the future, you can go to facebook.com and search for Duckfeed Community and watch for the prompts to go up on Monday afternoons.
The end boss.
Now it is time for the end boss, where we talk about things that are happening in the world of video games. Hey, David, what's going on with Niantic?
Yeah, so Game Freak actually is...
Oh shit, you're right, sorry.
Yeah,
I so associate it. Niantic also introduced or also announced something here. Sorry, the other team mostly known for making Pokemon stuff.
Right, exactly. yeah, have announced that they're not making something that isn't Pokemon stuff.
Yeah.
Ooh. What?
So they're teaming up with Take-Two Interactive to develop a game called Project Bloom. And all we have so far is concept art where a person dressed in traditional Japanese clothing is walking through a fantasy story while surrounded by maybe fireflies.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all we've really got, honestly. It's going to be illustrated by a man named Kazuma Koda, who apparently, according to this article, is known for his work on Nier Automata, Bayonetta 2, Let's Go Pikachu, and Fire Emblem Three Houses, which this is the real reason I chose this story. I love the fact that that is quite possibly the least similar selection of games in terms of like tone and graphic style you could possibly have.
True, but it's also two companies. Oh, he did it for Platinum.
Oh no, this is the artist.
Yeah, no, I'm saying like, oh, he worked for Platinum and Nintendo. Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, I get what you're saying.
Yeah. Huh.
But yeah, I know. I love the idea of being like, oh yeah, it's just going to be like his past work on these games that tell him you nothing about his style.
Yeah.
Maybe it just tells you that whatever this game is going to be is going to be completely different than any of those four games.
That's true. It's like you, what is it? You learn about God by learning what he is not.
People always get surprised, or it is funny to hear people be surprised that Game Freak has done stuff other than Pokemon, and they've like kind of continued doing a little bit of it, kind of just scattered throughout.
The only one I've even heard of though is Drill Dozer.
Yeah, Drill Dozer. There's Tembo the Badass Elephant was a big one. Like a Sonic kind of yeah, it was like a Sonic clone kind of deal. Sonic like platformer. Yeah. No, they've got a few. They have stuff that predates Pokemon as well. Pulse Man, things of that nature. Yeah. That's a very
Pulse
pretty
Man was just someone with the power of Lantos.
Sorry, that took me a second. Oh. Yeah. So it's a very pretty piece of concept art. I would just need to know more. Yeah. Let's see. Dennis, what's going on with Sony and related companies?
Yeah, related company being Pixel Opus. And unfortunately, Pixel Opus is shutting down.
These are the Concrete Genie people, right?
Concrete Genie. And then before that, Entwined, which was a PlayStation Vita. I don't want to call it a twin stick shooter, but like a twin stick game.
Mm-hmm.
I played it, and I don't know if I ever talked about it on the show, but it was really fun.
I feel like my memory of Entwined is very biased by the E3 demo for it, where whoever, I don't know, PlayStation person was way, way too impressed with it. It was just enough. Oh no, this game, it's actually about being in love.
Yeah. But it was like, if you liked Brothers, this game had that kind of vibe.
Okay.
And really cool and quirky and unique. So sad to see a studio that made stuff like that and Concrete Genie go.
No.
Concrete Genie, if you remember, like had a really freaking weird twist halfway through that just like it turned into a completely different game. The consistency
wasn't that when you were trying to play with your kids and it ended up being not the right fit.
Yeah. Oh my god. Like going full on like horror monsters coming out of your dreams to eat you.
Yeah.
Like that's not cool. Don't do that.
Not the lesson you want to give the kids.
No, don't want.
Yeah. Huh. Well, that's a shame. Yeah.
So sad to see him go. Hope people find, new work at new studios and get to continue making cool stuff on a different team.
Yeah. Hopefully. I've got one that's kind of just, a preview for a stream or, a grind at some point in the future. A simulation game called Landlord's Super is exiting early access and hitting 1.0 after over 3 years of being in early access on May the 25th. This is really neat. I've fucked around and played a few hours of the early access version and then put it down thinking, yeah, I just want to play this when it's done-ish. It is like a simulation life sim builder kind of game where you are living in this small town in 1980s, basically not quite a depression, but pretty close to depression, like Thatcherite, Britain.
The 1980s.
Yeah. Basically like you catch a break. It's like, hey, you can have this plot of land and live in it, but you got to build the house. And also you don't have any money, so you're gonna have to do odd jobs to, either afford the building materials or steal them, start doing construction jobs for other folks. What I played was very satisfyingly tedious in terms of just trying to make your way. Trying to make your way and not waste materials and not pass out on the middle of the street because the cheapest thing you can get to drink is beer, but it's got a good sense of humor to it. So I'm real curious to see what it's like. The last time I played it was like about a year ago. It is getting a full release on May 25th.
Very cool.
You don't see that, a life sim kind of thing that is very particularly in a semi-modern, place and time, right? Yeah. Ben, you got anything?
I got nothing.
Attaboy. Let's call it a night. How do you feel about buttoning it up?
Let us button
the credit. Sometimes they're short. And they can be short. It's fine. Thank you so much for listening to level number 457. We really appreciate you taking the time. Let me see here. We have got all the usual admin stuff. If you want to help out the show or the network, you can go to Patreon. You can leave ratings or reviews. You can subscribe. If you're just grabbing those episodes a la carte, get them automatically, you dummy. Yeah, that's all the admin stuff I can think of. Would like to thank our producer, Gwen. She's going on tour with her band here for the next like a week and a half, 2 weeks. Woo-hoo. And oh boy, I'm sweating. I'm sweating looking down the barrel of that. like, oh no. Her absence will make the heart grow fonder. Not that I was unfond of the work she was doing anyway.
What's the name of her band?
Her band is Trash Sound Conglomerate. They are touring in the Pacific Northwest, I think down to California, I believe.
Sweet.
If I recall. Yeah. Is there any other admin stuff that I am forgetting or anything people want to throw in?
Ooh, I have some fun news. So okay. Deck of Wonders is officially sold out of our signature edition of the game.
Ooh.
Except for the stock I have in my closet. So until the reprint campaign, which there almost certainly will be, mm-hmm. The only place you can get it is if you catch me at a con, or ooh. If you can catch me on the Slack, I guess.
Or rob your house.
You know what? Enough of your lip.
Yeah. The clues are there, people.
I did say I was going on vacation at the beginning of the end episode. Oh, fuck.
we'll just call it an ARG. It's fine. Oh, man. Well, that's good news. Selling out is good.
Thank you to everyone who put me in this position.
Yeah. Wonderful. Well, I've been Cole Ross. Again, still looking for those Blue Sky invites. If you got them, please. Yeah, that's me.
I've been Dennis Furia. You can find me very preciously guarding my remaining signature editions, apparently.
I've been David Meyersmith. You can find me solid snake into Dennis's house to steal his deck of wonders.
I've been
so this Merkel. Is how it ends.
And you've been who?
Ben Merkel.
Oh, whew. All right. Cool.
I mean, that's what he says.
Yeah.
Is anyone really checking on that?
And stick around for some titles. I've only got one 2-soul maximum.
That's pretty good.
So I have two. I have It Is Tuesday. And I have Sometimes They're Short.
All right.
Nice. I have Satisfyingly Tedious.
That's pretty good.
I did not write down any titles after I heard David's joke. So.
Yeah, I think 2-soul maximum as a setup to that. That has to be.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. All right. It is decided.